All right, here's my take on what's happening with Trump and China and China's President Xi. Now, remember, I lived in Taiwan for years. I speak Chinese. I have much more knowledge about Chinese culture than most Americans. So that that might have some weight on how seriously you take my analysis here, but I'll give you what I know. First of all, Trump's apparent humility in front of President Xi was highly unusual. Trump is not a naturally humble person. For Trump to be humble and to praise Xi publicly and to talk about how great China is shows you that Trump doesn't hold the cards. Trump doesn't have any leverage over Xi, or not much. Because if he did, then he would be doing his normal thing, which is saying, oh, you know, this leader kissed my ass, or this leader is a total fraud or a terrorist or whatever. Even though he might think those things about Xi privately in his own mind, he's not saying those things publicly. And that is a very big deal. It shows you again that Trump has no cards, that Xi holds the cards, and China will be dictating the terms of the relationship here. That much is quite clear from where we are. Now, from President Xi's point of view, and this is important to understand, the strategy for China, which has lifted itself up by its bootstraps over the last few decades out of a third world existence in the 1960s and 70s into the leading industrial manufacturer and engineering and automation country in the world. In so many areas of technology, China is the leader. I mean, we could go through the list, but it's almost all areas of tech. China is the leader. So Xi's strategy is very clear. China wants stability in the world. China wants the wars to end and for trade to flow smoothly, because China benefits from that. China benefits from being the manufacturer of the world and being able to export to the world. Trump, on the other hand, and the neocons in the United States have a different strategy. Their strategy is to cause global chaos. They want to prevent China from pursuing its natural course of advances and economic abundance. Just like the U.S. wants to prevent Russia from being able to rise up and have its own, you know, strong economy and strong industry and strong exports, etc. So when an empire is in its late stages and the empire is weak, which is where the United States is now, obviously, as we've seen from the war with Iran, where Trump's entire U.S. military cannot control the Strait of Hormuz, the entire military. And U.S. aircraft carriers flee the strait out of fear of being hit by Iran's drones. I mean, it's become quite pathetic, actually. The U.S. empire is waning. The strategy of a waning empire is to cause chaos in order to hobble the growth of other peers, to prevent them, in other words, from growing as quickly or from gaining power very quickly. So China and the United States then have opposite goals. The U.S. wants war. The U.S. wants chaos. The U.S. wants supply chain collapse, because that benefits the United States and it hurts China, because China depends on energy exports out of the Persian Gulf and also other exports such as polyethylene or sulfuric acid, things like that, you know, plus gas as well. Whereas the United States is more self-reliant in those areas, not perfectly self-reliant, but definitely more so than China. Whereas China, and this is what Xi is saying, I'm paraphrasing it, but Xi is saying, you know, we can both benefit from world productivity and peace, and we can cooperate and we can both win. Yeah, of course China is saying that, because they have the upper hand in terms of industry and technology, productivity, automation, etc. In fact, China in 2026 is right where America was in about 1950, let's say. In the 1950s, America wanted world trade because America was the industrial hub and America wanted to export to the world. So a lot of the U.S. Navy power for the United States grew out of that era to protect the routes, the sea routes, in order to support U.S. exports, because the U.S. was the industrial center of the world at that time. So now that baton has been handed over to China. Well, maybe not handed. China has seized it. China has risen to becoming the dominant industrial power. And out of that, China wants to protect trade routes. This is why China is building up a massive navy. And China has, remember, over 200 times the dry dock capacity of the United States. So China's navy, in terms of number of ships, is already larger than the U.S. Navy. And China's navy will, within the next 5 to 10 years, it will easily surpass the power of the U.S. Navy, especially as China is focused on things like drone carriers, you know, naval drone carriers, not just aircraft carriers. You know, China is not a leader in aircraft carrier technology. The U.S. still is. That is when the toilets work, I should say. But China doesn't need aircraft carriers. What China needs is things like submarines and drone carriers, and then a lot of sort of cruisers and, you know, radar ships and intelligence ships and so on. Because China's missiles can hit any target anywhere in the world. You know, it used to be in post-World War II, you had to bring a ship to the theater of war because you had to, you know, fire your 20-inch guns or whatever. I don't know if they were that large, but, you know, the big guns, you had to fire those guns, and they only had a range of however many miles. That's completely different now, where China has ICBM technology and also hypersonic missile technology, where China can hit any U.S. Navy ship on the surface anywhere in the world within, I think, less than 20 minutes. So China doesn't need aircraft carriers in order to be able to project naval power. And that is very different from history. And then finally, China will be dominating in the AI cyber warfare space. I mean, those aren't the same space, but AI has overlap with cyber warfare. And China clearly has the brightest engineers in that space. There's no question about it. You know, look at DeepSeek, look at Alibaba, look at Moonshot, etc. Where the U.S. once had the uncontested superiority of the technology space, those days are long gone. And today, China is clearly on the path to so-called win the race to superintelligence. So that's my take on where things are, what's happening between Trump and China. Trump is practically begging China to, you know, do us a solid and just be nice to us, you know. Because Trump doesn't have any cards. Trump has no leverage over China. Not really. No leverage at all. Not even withholding microchips and things like that. China doesn't care. They're building their own UV lithography equipment. They'll make their own microchips. Huawei has already proven that. DeepSeek has already proven that by training its model on non-NVIDIA chips. So Trump doesn't have any leverage here. He's flailing, and that's why he's being nice. And that's the only reason he's being nice. If he had it his way, Trump would go in there and threaten the crap out of China in every way possible. But he doesn't dare because China can do horrible things to the United States that would be far more damaging. So anyway, that's my take. Brightvideos.com is where you can find more of my videos, or naturalnews.com. And thank you for listening.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.